Well, welcome everyone to today's morning worship service. It's the 23rd of August, in case you've lost track of where we are in this year. And welcome to those who are out in the church car park today, and those who are here in the church hall, and others who'll be listening at home. Some announcements before we commence our worship. Evening service is on here tonight, God willing, 7:30, and that service is also relayed out into the church car park. Wednesday evening this week at 8 o'clock in the church hall will be a prayer meeting, and then next Lord's Day, God willing, the morning worship at 12 noon and evening worship at 7:30, same arrangements recent usual. And then another couple of things that are coming up. The 1st of September, we're due to have our next meeting of session. So session meeting on the 1st of September, and there'll be a lot of things to discuss and decide on in terms of what we're going to try to have happening over the coming weeks and months. And then the day after that, Wednesday, the 2nd of September, is the next meeting of the Northern Presbytery. How that's going to happen, I haven't been told as yet, so I don't know. And then also, just for information, the Relief Fund are planning to have an offering for the Beirut disaster appeal. And an announcement's gone out around the various congregations of the denomination, and they'll be looking for any contributions that we can make as a congregation to the Beirut disaster appeal during the month of September. There'll be further information about that later. Those are the announcements that I'm aware of. We'll join together now in the worship of God. And if you're able, please stand as we turn to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together here today. We thank you for the shelter that we have from the rain that's been falling steadily this morning. We praise you for the rain that you send and for all the good things that it accomplishes. We praise you, Lord, for the summer time of year. We thank you for this past week, for the sunshine, for the winds and the rain, and for the warmth and all the variety of conditions that we've experienced. We praise you, O Lord, for the start of a new week now. We thank you that we can come together to worship you. Help us, O Lord, as we do so. We pray that as we remember your dealings in the lives of your servants, in the times before the Lord Jesus had come into this world, that we can learn from those things. And we pray, O God, for the work of your Holy Spirit among us. We pray that you will bless the reading and preaching of your word, the singing of our praises, and help us as we look to you in our prayers. We ask, O Lord, for your good work among your people today. And we pray that your name will be praised in many places, in many different languages. Forgive us our sins now, and help us in this time of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We read in God's Word from the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. Last week we were looking at a couple of chapters, 17 and 18, that deal with the life and the events that happened in the time of King Jehoshaphat. Also tell us about King Jehoshaphat and about various things that happened in his days. And I want to read some verses and then also in chapter 20. So first of all, 2 Chronicles 19, it's page 400 in our Pew Bible, And I want to read just verses 4 to 6 in this chapter. So this is God's word. So Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim, and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Then he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, "Take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment." And then we move to the start of chapter 20. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham your friend forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save.' And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Berakah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And we end our reading there at verse 28 in chapter 20. I just want to say a few words to the children. We've been reading here and last week about the days of King Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament. And one of the good things about King Jehoshaphat is that he took time to give thanks to God. Whenever God had answered his prayers, whenever God did wonderful things, then he took time to give thanks. And whenever the people went out to where they thought there was going to, where it was thought there was going to be a battle, they didn't have to fight in that battle at all because their enemies all destroyed each other. Then at that time, they gave thanks to God. God had heard their prayers and answered those prayers wonderfully. And then when they all got back to Jerusalem, they again gathered and they gave thanks to God for his great deliverance. And this is a good thing to do. It's a good thing to give thanks to God. And it's good to give thanks to God every day in life. We can give thanks to God each day for the food that he supplies us with. We can thank God for the homes we have, for our families, for our friends. And soon you'll be able to thank God for the school that you can go back to. We can thank God for the health that he gives us, for the things that we're able to do in life. We can thank God for how he looks after us day by day in our lives. We can thank God that in his son Jesus, He has given us the very Saviour that we need. And we can give thanks for how God answers our prayers. That's what Jehoshaphat was doing. He had prayed, and he had left everything before God. And he said, we don't know what to do. We don't have strength. And he was just looking to God to save his people. And God did that. And Jehoshaphat gathered the people, and they all joined together in praising and thanking and blessing God. So it's a good thing to thank God every day, to remember that all that we have is coming from God himself. Now we're going to join together in prayer. And so if you're able, please stand now as we pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we praise you that we can look to you in our prayers, even as King Jehoshaphat all those days ago looked to you in his prayers as he led the nation in prayer in a time of crisis. And we thank you, God, that as you answered those prayers wonderfully, so you continue to give wonderful answers to the prayers of your people. We thank you, Lord, that as there was salvation in the days of Jehoshaphat, so this is still the day of salvation. We praise you that in Jesus Christ, your Son, there is the very Saviour that we need. And we thank you, Lord, for that full provision that you've made in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the health that we have that enables us to be here today. And we ask, Lord, that you will continue to be merciful in keeping us from illness and granting recovery. When we are ill, we pray for those who are not so well present, and we ask for your presence and help and strengthening hand in their lives. We pray, Lord, for those who are anxious in these days. Pray for those who are anxious about their health, or anxious about their employment, or anxious because of the guilt that they feel weighing upon them. And, Lord, we pray that in the midst of various anxieties, that people will look to you and find your help and comfort, and find you as the one who can take those burdens from us. We give thanks, Lord, for these days when schools are getting ready for starting up, having been off for so long. We pray for all that will be happening over the next few days. We pray for those who will be going into school to just get used to the way things will be. We pray that those days will be beneficial. We pray for all the teachers and all the school staff, that you help them in the things that they're trying to do. And we pray for those who will be starting new schools soon. We pray for that change in life. We ask for your help for Lily and Naomi as they'll be moving on to a different school. And we pray for all the others who will be in the same position as them. Pray also for those who have finished at school and will be moving on to other things, and we pray for them in that different phase of life. Lord, we pray for wisdom for our rulers in these times, and we pray for our Stormont executive. We pray for the government at Westminster, and we pray for other rulers in other parts of the world where there are many difficult decisions to be made, and choices where there doesn't seem to be any good option for people to settle upon. We pray for your working throughout the world, and we pray that in the way you direct things in the different nations of the earth, that the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ would be enabled to flourish and to advance. We pray for those who have been working and continue to work on trying to develop a vaccine for the present coronavirus. We pray that there will be good progress made, and that with all the different countries and different labs that are working on this thing, that there will be success, and we pray that that will be something that can be done and done safely, that it can be made available And we pray that many lives will be spared through that development. We pray for your guiding hand in that. We pray that people will not be wasting time on things that just aren't going to be effective. And we pray that you'll give them the wisdom to choose where to put their efforts and where to put their resources. We look to you, Lord, and we pray for your help in our lives. We ask that as we look to your word, that you would show us your truth, and we pray that we will learn from your ways. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to read a little bit more from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We finished at verse 28. I want to just pick up the reading there at verse 29, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, page 401 in our Pew Bible. And it says there, "And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. So Jehoshaphat was king over Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi, and he walked in the way of his father Asa, and did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not directed their hearts to the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, indeed they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, which is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who acted very wickedly. And he allied himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. But Eleazar, the son of Dodavah, of Marishah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, 'Because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works.' Then the ships were wrecked, so that they were not able to go to Tarshish." And then the first verse in chapter 21, "And Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place." So reads God's word. Last Lord's Day, we were looking at part of the life of King Jehoshaphat, and I want to speak today on the same subject, mostly from chapters 19 and 20, here in 2 Chronicles. At the start of chapter 19, the king is rebuked because of the alliance that he had, a military alliance, also a marriage alliance with King Ahab, the evil king of Israel, a man who hated the Lord. King Jehoshaphat had done wrong, and he had been told openly that he had done wrong. He had failed. And how was he going to respond whenever he was confronted with those circumstances? That's always a challenge. How do you cope with failure in life? Well, the first thing that we note today is that he got back into action. In chapter 19, we see King Jehoshaphat. He gets back into action, doing what a good king should have been doing. The temptation that Jehoshaphat faced was the temptation to be anonymous, the temptation to keep a low profile, to avoid saying anything or doing anything that might lead to further criticism, that might lead to further defeat. Maybe he felt a bit like those education ministers or education secretaries, John Swinney, Gavin Williamson, and Peter Weir, after saying one thing for so long and then doing a U-turn and saying something completely different. Those men would have felt like hiding away and not wanting to speak to the press or any of their political rivals. And King Jehoshaphat had got it wrong. He had been rebuked by a prophet of the Lord, and it would have been easy for him to decide that he wasn't going to do very much at all now. But that's not what he did. Instead, we see in chapter 19 that he gets back into action. Earlier generations would have talked about getting back on the horse. When the horse threw you, the thing you had to do was get back on the horse. And that's what the king does. Verse 4, it says that he dwelt at Jerusalem, but he went out again among the people from Beersheba in the south to the mountains of Ephraim in the north. And he brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Well, that's a great thing. Here's a king who himself has sinned against God, but he goes out among his people and he seeks to bring his people back to the Lord, even as he himself has come back to the Lord. And so here's a good example in what King Jehoshaphat does. When we get things wrong in life, it doesn't mean that we can't show our faces again, that there's no purpose in our continued existence. We're told Jehoshaphat went out again among the people. And we're told that God blessed his efforts. And his going out among the people throughout the whole length of the country, from south to north, it resulted in people being brought back to God. So when he failed, when he got things badly wrong, he didn't do nothing, but he got back into action. Second thing that I want to speak about from chapter 19 is that we see Jehoshaphat reforming the justice system. That's the next thing he sets about, verse 5 of chapter 19. Judges are put in place throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city. The judges are given clear instructions by the king. They're told that they are to serve the Lord, they're to honor him in their work. They're not there to be man-pleasers, they're not there to accept bribes. They're there to uphold the law of God. So throughout all the fortified cities, there are judges in place to make rulings. And then he also, in addition to that, he has a sort of a supreme court or an appeal court in the capital city of Jerusalem. And that is set up to deal both with the everyday civil court cases and also with the religious or ceremonial cases. And there's a particular man who's given responsibility in the religious cases, and that's the chief priest, Amariah. And then in terms of the civil cases, it's the ruler of the house of Judah, a man called Zebadiah. King Jehoshaphat seeks to have a well-established system of law throughout the land. He reforms the justice system. For the well-being of any nation. It's important that there is a justice system in place. And it's important that those who serve as officers within that justice system uphold the law. And that was particularly important since this was God's nation on earth. God is just, and justice must be seen to prevail among God's people. So King Jehoshaphat gives himself to reforming the justice system. The justice system is something we hope to have nothing too much to do with. We don't want to find ourselves appearing in court or being charged with something or being a witness. But it's very important that there is a justice system that performs justly. And that's something that was an important work of King Jehoshaphat, reforming the justice system. Then the third thing I want to speak about today is about prayer and deliverance from chapter 20. Jehoshaphat has recovered well after his sin of allying himself with King Ahab. He continues with his work of reformation, and he makes good progress in that. And so we could say, well, everything's going in the right direction, and what could possibly go wrong now? But then the very next thing we find in the 2 Chronicles story is that Jehoshaphat, in the midst of doing all these things that are good, he has to face the threat of a huge military invasion by a vast army of soldiers from various surrounding nations. And they group together, they enter into an alliance, and they all come against the land of Judah. So just when everything seemed to be going so well, when progress was being made, the good reforms of Jehoshaphat need time to get bedded in, but suddenly everything's under threat because of this huge army that's coming against them. And in response, we see that Jehoshaphat sets himself to seek the Lord, verse 3 of chapter 20. We're told that he proclaims a fast throughout the whole land of Judah, and we're told that the people of the land gather together to ask help from the Lord. And people come from all the different cities of Judah. They come together, and together they look and cry to the Lord. And Jehoshaphat, as king, he is the one who has to give leadership in this situation. Verse 13 tells us that all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. And Jehoshaphat leads this great gathering of the nation. He leads them in prayer. And in his prayer, he acknowledges that the God he is praying to is the real God. Verse 6, he says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? So that at the beginning of his prayer, he remembers who it is that he is praying to. And it's always good when we pray to remember who it is that we're praying to. And in our prayers, we come to the one who is the Lord God Almighty. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. All good things are possible with him. So this is the God that Jehoshaphat addresses in his prayers. And when he speaks to God in prayer, he reminds God of the things that God has promised to do. And verse 7, he reminds God that the land that they're now in was given to them by God himself, given to the descendants of Abraham, God's friend, and given forever. He reminds God also of the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the Jerusalem temple. That's what he's referring to in verse 9. Solomon had prayed that if disaster came upon God's people, whether it was by sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, that if they stood before that temple, and if they cried out to God, that God would hear them, and God would save them. And God had said that he would do that. And so that's exactly what was happening now. A great disaster was threatening the land of Judah. And the people had gathered together. And there they were, assembled in the vast crowd before the temple. And they were crying out to the Lord. And Jehoshaphat said, This is the way it is. And whenever this happens, what's supposed to happen next is that God hears and that God saves. And so he is saying to God, well, look, we've done our bit, and now it's time for you to do your bit. We can't sort this situation out, but you can, and you've promised to do this. And he calls upon God to act against these invaders. Verse 12, he says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. And so the king lays the whole matter out before God, and he says to God, and now what are you going to do? And God answers his prayer. And in the first place, he answers the prayer by the Spirit of the Lord coming upon a Levite. And this Levite speaks to the crowd the message that God has given to him. It's a reassuring message that is given. Verse 15, message is, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And he says in verse 16, tomorrow, go down against them. But they're told that they're to go not in order to fight a battle, but they're to go as observers. It says in verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And King Jehoshaphat and the people bowed before the Lord. They gave thanks, and they praised God with loud and high voices. Verse 19. And the next day, that spirit of praise was there. And as they went out to the place where they had to go out to, we're told they went out singing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And then when they went out to that place where it was anticipated that there would be a battle, where their enemies anticipated there would be a battle and they would fight against the land of Judah, instead, just as had been prophesied, they witnessed the defeat of their enemies, and they didn't have to fight that battle at all. And their enemies fought against each other, and they destroyed each other. And it was a complete massacre of the enemies of the Lord, without God's people having to participate at all. Told how it took 3 days for them to gather up all the spoil from the battlefield. There was an abundance of valuables. There was much precious jewelry. And then they assembled in a valley, and they gave thanks to the Lord. And then they did so again back at the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem. And we're told how it wasn't just a one-day time of rejoicing, but we're told that the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries, and that God gave Jehoshaphat rest all around. So here in the days of King Jehoshaphat, there is a wonderful deliverance that God grants to his people. And what can we learn from those long ago things? Well, let us learn, first of all, to turn to the Lord in prayer, because that's what King Jehoshaphat did. It wasn't that he wasn't afraid. He was afraid. It tells us that he was afraid. But when he was afraid, he turned to the Lord. And that's an important message for Christians throughout the world in these COVID-19 days. There may be cause to be afraid, but there is a mighty God to turn to. And fearful Christians, if that's all we are, that's a very bad witness. We need to be prayerful Christians who look to the Lord God Almighty, for whom nothing is too difficult. So we can learn from Jehoshaphat that we too need to turn to the Lord in prayer. We can also learn that we need to remember where true strength lies. As the people of Judah looked at that vast army that was coming against them, that's where strength seemed to lie. There were so many of them, and they were coming from various different nations, and they had joined together. It looked as if they were united. It looked as if they were strong, but they were neither. They were neither strong nor united. And God caused their alliance to fall apart, and they ended up destroying each other rather than the people of God. And it was God himself who was strong. And that's still the case. And always it will be. Only God is strong. And we need to remember where true strength lies. We can also learn from King Jehoshaphat to rejoice in victory. And we, as Christians in a different age, can rejoice in an even greater victory than what Jehoshaphat experienced. And in the days of Jehoshaphat, he and his people didn't even have to fight in the battle at all. And if you think about it, that is how it is with those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the one who goes out to battle on our behalf. We don't go to battle. He is the one who wins the day. He is our champion who defeats our enemy for us. We're not the ones who fight for our own souls. Otherwise, we would lose. Our place is simply like the place of the people of Judah. We observe. We watch. And the thing that was really important wasn't done by us, but it was done by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And we're called upon not to be great heroes, but we're called upon to watch and see what has been done for us. Jehoshaphat rejoiced in a great deliverance that God had granted. And in the work of Jesus Christ, there is a great deliverance that we can rejoice in too, remembering that it's all been done for us, and it's not of us at all. We can learn from Jehoshaphat also to give thanks for the things that God does do for us. And Jehoshaphat rejoiced in the victory. He rejoiced in the peace that God granted, the rest that was all around. And when we follow Jesus Christ, God gives us peace and he gives us rest. And we're to give thanks for those great blessings of Almighty God. And we can also learn from Jehoshaphat to see things in the same way as he saw things. Jehoshaphat, last week I was mentioning about how he sought to put in place military defenses. And he had well over a million soldiers there within the land of Judah. But he didn't trust in all the soldiers that he had. His words to God in prayer, he says, "We have no power, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And when our eyes are upon the Lord, it doesn't matter how weak we are, and it doesn't matter how strong our opposition might be. What always matters is how strong the Lord is. And that's what mattered as far as Jehoshaphat was concerned. He prayed to the Lord God Almighty. And so we can learn from these great works of God, this great deliverance that he granted in the days of King Jehoshaphat. There was prayer and there was deliverance. And in our lives, when we truly pray to the Lord, he is the one who delivers. But then the last thing I want to mention in regard to the life of King Jehoshaphat is about him falling short. The reign of Jehoshaphat is largely a time of blessing for the land of Judah. There are so many things that he got right, so many ways in which he was a good thing for the citizens of Judah. And yet the closing verses of the Second Chronicles account carry the sobering reality that there were things in which he didn't succeed, and there were things that he just got wrong. Verses 32 and 33 gives us a good report, but there is a nevertheless in it. It says of Jehoshaphat, "And he walked in the way of his father Asa," that was a good thing, "and did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord." Then it says, "Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not directed their hearts to the God of their fathers." Well, in an earlier chapter, it talks about how he took the high places away, but it wasn't a completed act. It wasn't something that continued, and it remained a problem that people were worshipping in places where they shouldn't have been worshipping, and they were worshipping gods that they shouldn't have been worshipping. Andrew Stewart, in his book on 2 Chronicles, he says that Jehoshaphat's actions removed some of the high places from the land, but they had not removed idolatry from the hearts of the people. And he adds, "How important is that work of God's grace in the hearts of sinners, which teaches them to hate the sin they once loved." Only God can do that. Only God can teach us to hate those sins that we used to love. King Jehoshaphat couldn't bring that about for his people. And so the old problems returned because they were still there in the hearts of the people. So he didn't succeed in ridding the land of those high places. And then also in verses at the end of chapter 20, we see how he again went astray in entering into an alliance. This time it's a trading alliance with King Ahaziah of Israel. And he's another king of Israel who is a very wicked king. And along with him, Jehoshaphat agrees that they'll make ships, trading ships, to go off to Tarshish and bring back many treasures. But we're told that the prophet Eliezer prophesied against Jehoshaphat and said, "Because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works." And we're told what happened. It says, "Then the ships were wrecked so that they were not able to go to Tarshish." And there you have this good king again going astray. But God is merciful to him in the midst of his going astray. And God causes this trading alliance to fall apart spectacularly. And that is the goodness and wisdom of God in action in the life of his servant. It looks as if things have gone spectacularly wrong. They've spent all this money making these ships, and they are wrecked, and all that money is lost. And that looks like a disaster, but it's not a disaster. What would have been a disaster would have been if this alliance had succeeded. That would have been much worse. And so God intervenes, and God wrecks the ships. And that's the way God is. When we, his servants, go astray and do things that we shouldn't be doing, God can cause it all to come to wreck and ruin and get nowhere. God does that for our good. He does that in his mercy. God causes things to just not work out in our lives. Causes things to go really badly wrong in order to spare us from something much worse that we would bring upon ourselves. God often has to save us from ourselves. He had to save Jehoshaphat from himself. And Jehoshaphat had a tendency to repeat the same old mistakes. And we are just like Jehoshaphat. We tend to repeat the same old transgressions again and again. And we need God watching over our lives. We need a Savior. A Savior who has never transgressed. And there only is one of those. Only the Lord Jesus has never transgressed. Only the Lord Jesus has always done the right thing. King Jehoshaphat was a great king. He was so much greater than so many others. And yet he falls short, and he falls into sin, and he fails to accomplish things. And this king wasn't enough. God's people needed a greater king than this. And in time, God provided that king in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Jesus, we have exactly the king that we need. We have one who will always be safe for us to follow, one who will always get things right, one who knows what's good for us and knows what's not good for us, one who will overrule in our lives. And we need to look to him and believe that he will always know what he's doing and will always be doing what is right and good for us. So we can learn from this servant of God, King Jehoshaphat, man who lived in difficult times, a man who looked to the Lord, experienced wonderful deliverances, and whenever he went astray, God knew how to deal with him. That's the God we need, a God to deliver us and a God to watch out for us, because we'll be sinning till our last day here on earth. We'll be going astray, and we need God to have a close eye upon us. Amen. Now, the psalm we close with today is part of Psalm 136. I think this is probably what the people of Judah were singing when they went out to witness the victory of the Lord. It's a psalm that has a recurring refrain, and the refrain is, "His mercy endures ever." And we Stanza 11, who did us remember in our low estate, his mercy endures evermore, and freed us from all of our enemies great, his mercy endures evermore. And God did deliver his people from their enemies, and their enemies were great and powerful, but God's mercy is an enduring mercy. So Psalm 136, the first four stanzas, and then the last two. We remain seated to sing. The tune that we sing to is Conwell, number 284. Tune 284. And after the singing of this psalm, I'll then close the service in the benediction. Let us praise God.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he surely is good. His mercy endures evermore. Give thanks to the one who is God of our gods. His mercy endures evermore. Give thanks to the one who is Lord of all lords. His mercy endures evermore. To him who alone performs wonders so great, his mercy endures evermore. To him who with wisdom created the heavens, his mercy endures evermore. To him who the earth spread out over the seas, his mercy endures evermore. Who made the great lights, made the sun rule by day, his mercy endures evermore. Who made moon and stars to rule over the night, his mercy endures evermore. Who did us remember in our lowest state, his mercy endures evermore, and freed us from all of our enemies great, his mercy endures evermore. Who satisfies all living creatures with food, his mercy endures evermore. Give thanks to the God who in heaven resides, his mercy endures evermore.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.